welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is Booking the Territory Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast, episode number 100 from December the 25th of 1993. We have hit the big 100. We've been doing this for nearly 2 years at this point, but episode number 100 is upon us. We are still in Ash Central High School in Jefferson, North Carolina, and I gotta tell you from the start, it might be airing July of 2018, but it took place, at least aired in the Smoky Mountains, December 25th of 1993, and holy shit, did they pick a night to not be in the Christmas spirit, and you'll see what I'm talking about shortly. Doc, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. Merry Christmas, pals, chums, buddies. I mean, it's Christmas night. It's episode 100. This is also exactly the midpoint range of Smoky Mountain. There's 200 TV episodes, so we are right there at the middle. It's all downhill from here. But I'm doing great. But what I'm more interested in is Harper's well-being, since he just... let me set the scene here for you. Harper apparently just took his first dump at his girl's house.
Oh,
so, Harper, how you doing over there, pal?
You see, what makes it worse is she has two daughters, so it's it just makes it worse.
But thank God. Did you make them watch? Did you make them like fan you off while you were sitting there struggling and sweating?
I was like, hold my hand. Hold my hand.
I see Jesus.
No, but I'm in her bedroom, so like I could just use the one in here. So,
so you just took a deuce under her pillow and left it.
You see, here's the thing: Sunday is like our date. That's like the date day, you know. And I've been here since like fucking 1 o'clock. So by this time, I would probably be heading home, and that's when I would just drop my deuce that I've been holding in since I've been here. Well, we're doing this, and I can't, so I'm forced to drop a deuce now.
You should have just gone out in the backyard.
Stop looking at me.
Let me follow up here. So what'd y'all do for your date today?
Let's see.
It was just today.
Yeah, we didn't do shit.
Oh, well.
Friday, we saw Jurassic Park.
Oh.
That's it.
And then did she come out to the big wrestling show last night?
No, she didn't come out.
What kind of broad you got?
No kidding, man. How she know? She's got to know that. If she's not there, the rats are going to be out.
Now, if it was like at a high school, like at the, you know, a standard Wildcat show, yeah, but not at the Shamrock.
Why not? What's wrong with the Shamrock?
I just can't see her just kind of staying around there at the bar and, no, by herself.
Well, you got to introduce her to some people. You're a big man in Wildcat. Come on.
Yeah. No.
Let her get to know everybody.
I'm trying to think, dude. Like, I think my wife knows three Wildcat wrestlers. That would be Luke Harper and maybe Danny Flamingo. Other than that, there's no introducing wives to wrestlers.
No.
Anyway. Or girlfriends, right?
Yeah. Fuck that. Yeah.
All right. Doc, any other follow-up questions before we get into the episode?
We got to do something, man, because I just want to shoot straight with the people from the get-go. This episode is awful. It's not going to be better. And as we had a pre-show meeting, unless Harper and I think of something quick to save this shit, we might be ready for the tagline.
Book it, bitch.
Well, I was thinking, maybe y'all, you said you and Harper are going to shoot straight. Maybe y'all can shoot a couple of ropes later and throw some cosmic fireballs out there. By the way, the Cosmic Fireball line that hit a few weeks back on the flagship show, the NWA show, it's getting a lot of reaction. Good God almighty, a lot of reaction. Everybody's talking about how they almost drove off the road as they were listening in their car. But we will jump into this episode. Again, it's episode 100, Christmas Day, 1993. Dutch and Bob Cottle open up the show, and I'm going to play it because I thought this was a high moment of the show. Here it is.
A great hour this week, fans. Our 100th show. Dutch, also, we got to wish everybody a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to Bob. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
I can tell you do, Dutch. By the way, we're going to see Bobby Blaze, and we're going to see the Bruise Brothers in
what
action
the
right
Dutch
here.
Doing?
We're
going
to hear from the Dirty White Boy, also from the Dirty White Girl.
Oh, I feel good.
Brian, primetime Brian Lee and Tammy Fitch. We're going to go back and take a look at some of the action that's been occurring between the Moondogs and the Bruise Brothers. What a feud that's turned into be. And we got a down and dirty, and also we got a beat the champ.
Well, I'm going to draw the name right now for the next contestant or the next participant to face Tracy Smothers in the beat the champ contest.
Wait a minute, Chris.
Well, are you guys busy right now?
Well, I was drawing beat the champ. You're interrupting me.
I'm sorry, but listen, I don't want to owe anybody anything, and I know Dutch, I wanted to catch him before I forgot. Here's that $200 I owe you, you know. $200. You know what I mean?
Oh.
I owe it to you.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Excuse me. Let me draw the Beat the Champ contestant today.
Look at Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Let me draw it. There it is. What? Hey, Chris, I've drawn your name.
No.
What a coincidence. You will be in. Yes. Chris Candido. See right there?
Hey, Lady Luck is on my side today.
Very good. Good luck, man.
Dutch, fans, let's go to the ring.
All right. I thought that was kind of funny, man. But, Harper, thoughts on Chris Candido and Dutch pulling a fast one there?
I was wondering where he's been, because it seems like when they had that feud and with Bobby Blaze with the belt thing, he kind of disappeared for, you know, a short bit. So I'm glad to see him, you know, doing something with him.
Yeah, they did the thing at Thanksgiving Thunder, and now they're back, and I don't know, man. I'll ask Doc about this later, maybe, or he can tell me what he thinks now. It feels like these Christmas episodes leading up to Christmas Chaos weren't nearly as exciting as the last 2 to 3 months. But, yeah, Candido's he's back now, and we'll see what happens. He got his name picked, so there you have it. Anything else, Hopper?
No.
Doc, what you got from this?
I loved it when Candido walked up and said, Are you guys busy right now? That was funny.
No, they're just cutting the open another damn episode, Chris.
And Caudle just did not like this at all. This was some he smelled the bullshit from a mile away.
he keeps pointing it out too.
This offended his sensibilities, man.
Did
Come
it?
On.
Oh, he was pissed. He was really pissed. So, and again, Bob is like, he's just giving Dutch the what-the-fuck look. We go to the net. Anything else, Doc, before we go to Bobby Blaze and Paul Lee?
No.
All right, so we go to Bobby Blaze versus Paul Lee. That's Lee, not E. And Paul Lee missed the big leg drop off the top rope, and his spine screams in pain.
Hey.
Bobby hits Lee with a Northern Lights bridge suplex. Bobby wins. Harper, any thoughts from the match?
Nah.
Me either. And nothing else what I just said. Doc, what about you?
That mummy's going to murder our friend. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I had asked Bobby about the whole mummy thing, and he sent me a long message about it. So I'll have to read it on air. Yeah. I mean, y'all know Bobby. He's kind of like fun-loving, happy-go-lucky kind of in a way. He's always bullshitting. So he didn't like bury it, but he had a lot of fun with it and just talking about it. Bobby actually was talking about Rob, who was the mummy. I forget Rob's last name. But he was like, Rob was a really good dude, and Rob was actually talented. That's the thing. He's in his mummy gimmick, but the dude who actually played the mummy was not a bad wrestler from what I gather. So Bobby was just talking about how he was a good dude, and he was just saddled with this terrible gimmick. Good Lord.
Did he do anything after that?
That I don't remember, but, I mean, from what I gather, he was a real good dude.
That sucks.
Knew what he was doing, but, dude, they put him in that gimmick. He couldn't move. I mean, what was he supposed to do? What are you supposed to do in that shit?
Yeah.
I don't know, but do you think... Go ahead.
Because
you can't see a fucking mummy doing a international spot, you know, leapfrogs and fucking monkey flips and shit, you know.
What are you doing that?
Yeah. Oh,
Jesus
and
Christ.
Do you think Bobby goes to the back and Horner's like, hey Bobby, I mean, you had a good match and all, but the bridging thing is kind of my thing, you know, so I think maybe we need to get you a different finisher.
At this point, Horner has got 1 foot out the door, so I'm going to go out on a limb and say he probably didn't think nothing of it. Plus, it was a Northern Lights and not that roll-up gimmick that, you know, Horner does. So I don't think so, but nice try, Doc. Any other thoughts?
I'm just wondering.
All right. Well, next up, we do hear from Daryl Van Horn again. So let's hear what Mr. Van Horn has to say.
Down in the ring, fans, let's go right now, and let's talk to Bob Caudle with Daryl Van Horn.
All right, fans. Of course, one of the strangest pair in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, probably, I guess you might say, the real odd couple, are Daryl Van Horn and Prince Karras. But I tell you, Bobby Blaze, the guy has made his name with upsets. He just might pull one against the Big Prince.
Well, I want all of you Smoky Mountain rednecks to come in from out of the barn, stop fondling the livestock, and turn up the television. We're going to talk about Christmas Chaos, where Bobby Blaze will be the next soul to fall at the hands of the mighty Prince Karras. You know, Bobby Blaze, you're from Kentucky. That means you're the lowest form of filth on the planet. You know I'm telling the truth, redneck, so put your firearms away. You shoot me in a dream, you better wake up and apologize. Let me tell you something, Bobby Blaze. You've had your career being known as an underdog, the big high school star who pulled off the upset victories. Well, you're not in high school anymore, Bobby Blaze. The days of spike punch and stink finger are gone. And it reminds me of an old song, Bob Caudle, you know, just what makes that little old ant think he can move a rubber tree plant. Bobby Blaze, you are an ant, and Prince Karras is the proverbial rubber tree plant. All of the wishing, all of the high hopes and support from this poor white trash you call your fan base will not prevent Prince Karras from crushing you like the insect that you are at Christmas Chaos. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to flog the manservants.
I think we'll gladly do that, fans.
Jesus Christ.
Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Does that mean jerk off?
I didn't look it up. I don't know what it means.
For you, it does.
Oh.
It can mean anything you want it to, Harper.
All right, Harper, what did you think about all this?
Fucking great. You see, dude. Put your firearms away.
Fucking, how about spiked punch and stink finger?
Yeah, no.
That sounds like a great weekend now.
Dude, that was a great line. Told Bobby drinking the spiked punch bowl and fingering some honeys in high school, those days are over.
How many? Like Bob Cottle's like, dude, what the fuck, bro?
Right,
what
yes.
The fuck?
So that's something when you get our good friend the devil on, you need to, like, what was his personal interactions with Bob Caudle like?
Yeah, really. Because Bob is this kind of straight-edge guy that, you know, calls it, you know, like it's a sport and wears a suit and looks all like he's going to run for Congress or something. And he's talking about stink fingering and shit.
And flogging the manservants.
Yeah, you're right.
Bob Caudle called NWA World Title matches.
Right.
And he's out there listening to James Mitchell,
and really,
a.k.a. Daryl Van Horn.
And really, he called them not much more than like 5 years before this.
Dude, right. I think, yeah, because he was, I think when Sting won the world title from Flair, I think Caudle
doing stuff. I'm pretty sure he was doing stuff as late as 88. So
not
that's 5 years.
89, bro. So okay. It was less. But you're right. You're absolutely right. And now he's out here with Van Horn and flogging the manservants and listening to this dude talk about spike punch bowl and getting a stink finger. What the shit?
Yeah, buddy.
I loved it. This was great. This was really good.
Hey, here's another question. how many girls, how much scandalous ass, how much just nasty, perverted action went on at his doing? Did he get with that forked silver tongue just running through the bitches just before these Wandas and Tammys figured out what was going on?
Oh, God.
I don't know. I'm not even going to try to figure it out. How's that sound?
I'm going to go with lots.
All right. All right. Any other thoughts before we move forward at this point in the game?
Well, on an episode where we're going to be reaching to find stuff, this was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was, this again, another high mark of the show. The first couple of segments with Candido and then Van Horn, high mark. So, all right, well, after Van Horn, they go to a Tracy Smothers profile, and they have this music video with Smothers, and
do we need to ask? Do we need to ask?
What?
Ask what?
Do you have a clue of who this is?
Bro, I listened to this. I watched this a week ago. I don't know.
I think you could have watched it 10 seconds ago and not known, but that's just me.
Highly likely, so you can go fuck yourself. What's your point?
Well, it was Bones, Thugs, and Harmony.
No, it wasn't.
They have this song called All I Can Do Is Write About It.
Look at fire. Tracy fucking pitching rock.
I know, huh?
That's Country boy.
That's by Lynyrd Skynyrd, sir. Dude, did you see the one where he's whittling shirtless?
I don't know. He's shirtless on some rocks right now throwing sticks.
Right. Country guys like to throw, like, inanimate objects into bodies of water.
That's true, huh?
Just stand there for, oh, driving the boat.
Dude, when I was a kid, we used to do that for hours in Lake Pontchartrain, skipping rocks.
Imagine it just bounced off the top of that filth.
Okay, so any other thoughts on the Smothers profile?
I loved it, man. I love these things. They're different.
Yep.
Yeah.
It makes them... Fair. And you got to understand, it's like back then, you couldn't just Google a guy's name and find out his, you know, the guy's whole life story. So this was a treat back then.
Hey, you never really... You didn't know much about the guys outside of what you saw on TV. So, yeah. This is a different time.
Look at that.
There he is. He's shooting.
Oh! Jim Tracy.
Look, he's whittling.
Oh, yeah, he is, huh?
Dude, he looks so young. God. No, he's fishing now. All right. Yeah, there we go. All right. Any other thoughts, Doc, before we move on, Harper?
No.
All right. So they we go from the Tracy's personality profile, and I think we're going to hear from the Dirty White Boy. I got to get it queued up. It's taking a second to get there. But Dirty White Boy and the Dirty White Girl, I should say. So let's go to that right now.
All right, fans, you just saw one of the competitors in the triple threat at Christmas Chaos.
She's looking good.
Here's
right
another
there. What's
one.
Up?
There's going to be three in the ring at one time, and this is the Dirty White Boy, Dirty White Girl, and
speed.
I know you are still fuming, and she is too, about what happened to her last week.
That's exactly right. You know, Bob, in
she
a little
no
bit
ass.
In the show, you're going to show exactly what happened last week. It's not the first time Brian Lee and that whatever you want to call her has put their hands on the Dirty White Girl. It's not the first, it's not the second. It's been time and time again. Well, prime time, I'm not going for that. No more, whether you like it or not. And at Christmas Chaos, triple threat, it's not going to be a threat, big boy. It's going to be a promise, because I'm going to come straight at you and I'm going to bust that big horse head of yours. Now, as far as Tracy Smothers is concerned, you come out here, you say you don't like me. We're even. Everything's even, Steven. You don't like me. Well, that's fine. I'm not concerned about it. The only thing I'm concerned about is Christmas Chaos, and that's walking out the Smoky Mountain heavyweight champion. White girl, you got anything to say?
Oh, I got a lot to say. You gutter tramp.
What?
I am so mad. I can't even think of nothing to say, but I promise you, next time I meet you, not only am I going to dot both of your eyes, honey, you won't be walking out of the ring. You'll somebody will be carrying you out, and that's a damn problem.
Show your tits!
Like she's going to grab that little scrawny thing by that turkey neck, and she's liable to snap it. So people, you cinch them up tight, and you get ready. and we'll see you all at Christmas Chaos.
All right, and fans, we'll be right back right after this.
Okay. Harper, any thoughts from what we just saw there? All right, Harper must have went to take a piss in. Go ahead.
I'll step in and help, man. I like the fact that White Boy doesn't care about Smothers liking him. Because that's what a real dude would do, man. I don't give a shit if you like me or not. What are we, friends? Come on. Dirty White Girl was not good there. Jesus Christ. No. And I like the fact that when she gets nervous and starts stuttering, she starts cursing, man. and then, like, you could tell White Boy had to jump back in at the end and, like, fish her out because she was struggling big time.
Yeah. Harper, thoughts?
Yeah. I wonder if she really had to get her hair up like that for the promo, or that's just how she just, like, walked into the fucking building.
Dude, that was a lot of Aquanet right there.
Jesus Christ, her hair was huge, man. The fuck?
Aquanet? What? Is that some white girl shit?
And hair metal.
Yeah, that's like old like white women shit.
Wow.
My grandma used to use that shit.
Wow. Buy stock on Aquanet in the 80s then, right?
Oh. Well, we don't deal with Afro Sheen and Relaxer, so I don't know what you want us to talk about.
Fuck you. How's that sound? You like them apples?
Which them apple
butter.
Right. I don't get ashy, sir.
All right. Actually, you do. You just don't realize it, but we shall proceed.
Because it just mixes in with my perfect white skin.
Okay, we are... We are moving past the local promo. I don't have anything from it. They talk about the Hillbilly's Country Buffet again, which I guess these people went nuts for. Doc, would you agree on moving forward? Harper, would you agree?
Let's roll.
So then we go to Larry Santo and Rock Regal versus the Bruise Brothers. And I am going to play a soundbite from the very beginning because Dutch and Bob are on it again. Here it is.
May haul on you at any time. How would you like to be completely defenseless? Standing there looking up at that Bruise Brother.
I'd like that tremendous arm as
he came off of that rope.
I would like that, Bob. Actually, the Bruise Brothers come over to my house every morning, and I just get out in the backyard while I'm still half asleep, and they just beat me up. I like that. Yeah, I like
get slammed
it.
Around by
I like to get beat
that.
Up. I like to get picked up and slammed on my concrete driveway. I like stuff like that.
Dutch, why don't you shut up?
Bob, I can't believe you said something like that.
Dutch, you talk all the time.
Bob, that hurts my feelings. I can't believe that you would say something like that. I know I talk all the time, but I have interesting, important things to say. Well, okay.
Well, off of the rope, and there he goes.
Bob.
Doc, any thoughts on that exchange?
Those two are harkening back to the days in the early days when they had to lift this thing through, and they're back on it.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
That's what that was about right there, Bob. Dutch, why don't you shut up? Bob. Like his feelings are hurt.
Right.
Okay, the Bruise Brothers win this match. Harper, do you have any thoughts from this shit?
No, bro.
Me either. Doc, you?
I fast forward when they're on the screen.
Well, then we go to a recap of the chaos with the Bruise Brothers and Moondogs and Rock and Roll beating the Moondogs up. Remember, this is when Corny called out the Bruise Brothers. Bruise Brothers came out. Corny hits one with powder. It ends up with the Moondogs pounding on the Bruise Brothers some more. And then we go to a Bruise Brothers promo, which I don't want to do the Von Erich thing, so I will not be playing that right now. How does that sound, Doc?
Great.
Edit? Yeah.
Did you say edit?
Well, you need to edit yourself out because you were talking about suicide. So when I talk about the Von Erich thing, you get all upset. I just wanted to leave a note so that you could know to edit yourself out.
I'm not going to edit it out. How's that sound?
Well, let's get the down and dirty with Pablo Escobar or whoever he is this week.
Today, right. So it starts with a recap of primetime Brian Lee putting makeup on Dirty White Girl and then Smothers saving Dirty White Girl, but Smothers tells Dirty White Boy he's still going for the title and they ain't friends. And then that's when we pick up at this moment right here.
That's right. Come on down. Okay, I have my special guest here, the current reigning Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Champion, primetime, top of the line, Brian Lee, and the First Lady of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, Miss Tammy Fitz. Now, Brian, my first question to you, I heard the white boy out here. You heard the white boy out here. You've heard what Tracy Smothers has had to say. But it seems like to me they are more concerned with each other. You may be the forgotten man in the triple threat.
You know, you're exactly right, Dutch. Dirty white boy, Tracy, I don't know if they're going to run a foot race, if they're going to kiss and make up or stab each other in the back. But, boys, you're overlooking one thing. 6'8", 280 pounds, and I'm wearing the gold, and I have the girl, and you want that, but you can't have it. Triple threat match, I'll tell you what. When we step in the ring, one man's coming out victorious like I always do, and the first lady will walk down that aisle with me as a champion.
Excellent comments. Now, let me ask you this. Were you trying to improve the dirty white girl's looks last week?
Doesn't she look good now?
Well, she looks like,
The street corner slut that I've always said she was.
Well,
I mean, I tried to help her out of the goodness of my heart. I tried to help her and give her some of my beauty tips and the makeup tips. And you know, she doesn't look any better than that clown I saw at the circus last week. And I don't think she could ever look better than a clown with the way she looks. But you know what? I don't think we have to worry about this triple threat match because, Brian, you won't have a problem, will you?
You're exactly right, darling. I'll tell you what, this weekend, Christmas chaos, primetime Brian Lee's walking in as a Smoky Mountain champion and walking out as a Smoky Mountain champion. Come on, First Lady.
Now you heard it. Some good words from the Smoky Mountain champion and the First Lady. Don't go away. We'll be right back. And Tammy, you look very nice today.
Yeah.
Dutch looking at that ass as she walked out, boy. He was like, look at that pussy right there.
God dang.
All right. Harper, what did you have from this?
Man, Brian Lee just looks like such a shithead.
Has he put on weight?
I was thinking the same thing.
He kind of looked like he did right there with what he had on, but I don't know if he put on weight. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. What else you got from it, Doc?
Dude, Tammy was looking good right there, and everybody saw it. Dutch knew about it. He couldn't even keep it up. He could keep it in, man. He had to talk about it. He had to tell us about it.
Yeah.
Right. He just broke character. Damn, Tammy, that ass look. And she's walking away. He should have just said, damn, Tammy, that ass looking good.
Right.
Shit.
And then we get a street corner slut. That's always nice.
Yeah, that's nice, huh?
Classy, right?
Right there in front of all the kids down at the high school.
Yeah, right.
Family friendly.
Yeah. Right.
Down at the church and civic center, right? Or civic civic organization. Shit. Did you catch Brian Lee at 6'8", 280 again? We haven't heard that in a long time.
Yes. I was thinking the same thing. We haven't heard about his height or his weight since he turned heel.
Bro, he used to say that shit nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
Nonstop.
Jib-jabbing, socializing back
in
those
days.
No,
that would be Horner. Good God.
But that's when they were out there together.
Telling y'all, when we're done with Smoky Mountain, we just need to go through some of them old promos and just, like, take a shit on them. Like, for real.
Well,
like, go through a Horner. No, but we... The first 20 episodes or so, we didn't play them. We just kind of talked about them. Like, to revisit them and just, like, really take a big, meaty, hairy shit on them.
Wow.
What?
I don't know.
I like Tim Horner.
You do not.
You need to pick your energy level up, bro. Jesus, you sound bored. Okay, we'll keep going. Local promo. Doc, what are we doing with that?
Local promo.
Rock and Roll Express.
Nope.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So if we're not doing the local, I am going to fast forward to the good part of Murdoch as he's got this Native American woman held captive still. And I just don't know what's going on, but here's Murdoch.
What do you think, honestly? Huh?
I like it.
You like it? Well, let me tell you something, Bob Armstrong. You get ready, because this is our Christmas present right here. You see, when Mama Cornette calls and offers the money, the big boy gets on Delta Airlines, and he goes where it's needed. And you see, Armstrong, we go back a long, long time, because you remember Orlando, Florida. When Captain Redneck Dick Murdoch ruined your wrestling career. Now you might be fooling all those hillbillies, all them ignorant, inbred hillbillies in Tennessee, because you're under a mask and they don't think you know who you are. But you see, Jimmy Boy Cornette called me and told me. And when he said, are you interested in coming? Bingo, Daddy, I'm on the way. So Armstrong, look at our new Christmas present, and I've got a good one for you, because it's going to be in a hospital. Armstrong, your days are numbered.
All right, Harper, any thoughts on Murdoch right there, who really means business and is as believable as can be?
That's a nice cabin.
Sure was, cabin. Man. That's probably what, in 1993, probably still half to three quarters of $1 million then.
Yeah. That's got to be like a ski resort or something.
I would think so, but I'm not familiar enough with the area. I'm sure there are people out there who are, but that is a nice cabin that he's got his Native American woman at.
What I love is there's so much to this story that they're not telling that we can all just sit around and think about here.
Well, the thing is, I'm thinking, how much money does she have that she can buy him this big, beautiful home in Colorado? It looks like a Coors Light commercial.
That's Mama Cornette. She got all the money in the world.
Right. I mean, God, how much money does she have to where she can just break this off to him? Like, look, this is your house. Make it happen.
See, that was the beauty of it back then, though, man. She had been not paraded around, but the whole story had been paraded around so much by this point, how much money Mama had. I mean, for me, it started in Mid-South with him talking about it. Then it goes to friggin' Crockett Promotions, and now it's here. And she's always bailing him out and always got tons of money. So it worked, and you never saw Mama Cornette back then. So you just figured, this little bastard's just always running off, and he's got Mama's money, and fuck him. And it worked.
Yeah, so it's right. It's tons of money. I mean, Fort Knox is in Kentucky. It's like Mama Cornette goes over there and just makes a withdrawal and shit.
Shit, yeah. Any other thoughts, Harper, on this right here?
Nah.
Yeah, it's at the point now where the match needs to happen. I mean, they've been doing the first promo was great, right? Where he's sitting on the bucket and it's snowing and he's two broads and he's drinking beer. That was great. At this point, I'm like, all right, Murdoch's coming in. We want to see this match. Doc, thoughts from anything we saw here?
Let's get it on, man. It's Christmas night.
Yeah, and the sad part is, man, next week is a review show, so we're not going to find out about all this till January of 94.
Jesus Christ.
I know, bro. All right, so with that said, Corny now is going to be out here, and he's still milking this shit with the Baldy stuff. So here's Corny in the Heavenly Bodies.
All right, fans, you just heard him right there. Some very serious words from Captain Redneck Dick Murdoch.
You know something? This weekend is Christmas chaos. This program airs. We're taping it a couple days previously. But by the time this thing shows on television, one of two things is going to be taking place. Either Bullet Bob Armstrong is going to have that sock pulled off his face and have his true identity revealed. Or Tom, I'm going to be bolder than a cue ball, and I can't think of it. Shut up. Stop that, Baldy. Stop. Let me explain something, and I want everybody to listen real good. I don't know what's going to happen, but all I know is Dick Murdoch has a shot at the Bullet every night of the Christmas Chaos Tour. And whether it's $5,000 of my mother's money or whether it's my hair on the line, whatever it may be, when Murdoch meets Bullet Bob Armstrong, he's going to leave no stone unturned because I'm paying him real good. He's going to get the Bullet out of my hair, so to speak, once and for all. And then never again will Bob Armstrong's stinking carcass darken the doorstep of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, because on a personal note, Armstrong, look in my eyes and I swear to you, I mean what I say. I've never hated anybody in my life as bad as I hate you. You caused me nothing but trouble. And as bad as you want to humiliate me, Bob Armstrong, I guarantee you I want to humiliate you. I want to see you stripped of every bit of self-respect. I want to see all these people that love you so much abandon you. And I want to see you left a broken man. And Dick Murdoch is the guy that's going to do it for me. Now, talking about broken men, I want to take a look at what we did last week to that stinking, no good, dumb jock, mush mouth football player, Mike Furness. Go ahead and roll that videotape.
We are not about to recap that again. Bro. I'm like, no, that shit is not happening. Cornette is milking this, though, and telling him to stop with the Baldy talk. The promo does pick back up shortly in a minute. But, Doc, Harper, any thoughts on just that beginning part of the promo from right there before we come back?
The one thing that stuck out for me is you will never darken the doorstep of Smoky Mountain Wrestling again.
That's a great line.
Yeah, that caught my ear.
That is a good line.
Balder than a cue ball is a good one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Painting
any,
pictures
any other,
with
any other thoughts, Doc?
Well, painting pictures with words. He's the best at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's damn good at it.
And that was a really good promo overall. I mean, good stuff.
Yeah, he was rolling there. All right, so after they throw it to that goddamn recap, which was funny to see Furnace getting his ass beat again, they come back and they're going to close it out here. Not close out the show, but they close out the promo here.
All right, and that was Mike Furnace, but it's going to be a reunion, and Doug Furnace, the strongest
man
in the world.
Are you guys scared of a couple of dumb jock football players?
Say this. First of all, guys, you are stepping on a different playing field altogether. You see, you may be really good when it comes to grass and dirt, but once you get on the mat, you're going to find out you're not so big and you're not so tough after all. You see, you're not just looking at a couple of average wrestlers. No, you are looking at the Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions. And when a couple of Tennessee volunteer football players want to step on our playing field, then we'll show you how the game is really played. Right, Jimbo?
Oh, you're exactly right, cuz. Hey, football's one thing, just like he said. Yeah. But what we do is a whole different sport. That's hey, right. Doug. You may be tough, and you're so good you got to wrestle in Japan. And what I think is, you're so bad you can't make it in the States. So you bring your little brother on, and we're going to stop a mud hole in you. And I guarantee you, the three of us are going to walk it dry.
Let's just take a look. Let's give a profile of the typical University of Tennessee student.
Yeah.
He's a dumb, stupid moron that goes to football games.
Yeah.
Now let's take a look at a typical University of Tennessee volunteer football player.
Yeah.
He's the kind of guy that stays up all night studying for a urine test. He's the kind of guy that wins a gold medal in track and field, goes out and has it bronze.
Yeah.
He's the kind
Jimmy
of guy
Delray.
That wins a letter in football and has to
look
have somebody read it to him.
Yes,
all of those apply to Mike Furnace, and all of those apply to Doug Furnace. And boys, all I've got to say is we are going to expose the University of Tennessee for what it really is. A second-rate school with a third-rate football team and fourth-rate students. And it's going to be us doing it. It's third down and goal to go, boys. Your punt.
I hate Christmas. Bah humbug.
And I hate football.
And I hate the Furnaces.
All right, fans, don't go away. You've heard it from Heavenly Bodies, Jim Cornette. We're going to be right back.
Oh, boy. Del Rey was serious there for a minute before he started playing around, which I thought was really good. Harper, what did you have from that?
You got to stay up all night to study for a urine test. That was funny. Never heard that before.
That was a good one.
That was a damn good one. It was great. I like that. Oh, I like that a lot.
And it was Del Rey fucking looking down like at his dick.
Right. It, which made it even 10 times worse. It was really, that was, I enjoyed that. I thought that was good. That was really good stuff there. Holy shit. And it, what else you got, Harper?
That's it.
All right. Doc, what did you have?
Man, they hate football. They hate Christmas.
And they hate the Furnaces.
Right. To cap it all off. I like what he said. You know, you're over in Japan. That means you're not good enough to be here.
Is Jimmy Del Rey?
Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute, though. We need to move on because you got something on the screen for us here we need to get to, pal.
I was about to ask, is Jimmy Del Rey the best at mannerisms while he's not talking?
Yeah. I bet he was an excellent, like, charades player.
Jesus, Lord. God, he's perfect.
Because whenever he gets confused, he just wiggles and makes you laugh.
Yeah, just something out of the blue, bro. You ain't lying about that. All right. Yeah, we got Horner queued up here. So what happens is they go from Nat to Tim Horner in a suit. So let's hear from Tim Horner and what's going on with him.
Fans, with me right now, here's White Lightning Tim Horner. And Tim, as you can see, he's really dressed out. As we say, Tim, you clean up real nice there, guy. I tell you, I know you're suffering an injury at the hands of Prince Karras. You re-injured your neck, as a matter of fact, in a match with Prince Karras. So what's now for Tim Horner?
Well, I tell you what, you know, like you said, I was injured in a match, and I guess my career may be put on hold for a while. I'm still under doctor's care. I'm taking therapy. But I'm like anybody else, any hardworking man or woman out there, I hate to be out of a job.
Yeah.
And Smoky Mountain Wrestling has offered me a position. And especially right here at Christmas, being without a job, I got a baby on the way due any day now. So they've offered me a position, and that position will be with, working with a wrestling camp. And that'll be open to the public. And also, they've made me event coordinator down in the Cookeville area. We're on Channel 29 down there. So I want everybody out in the Cookeville area, down in Monterey, Sparta, Cookeville, Crossville, just call Smoky Mountain Wrestling if you want wrestling to come down there. And I'll personally come and see that we come there. And I appreciate your time, Bob.
All right, Tim, and good luck to you. Hope that injury is going to heal real quick for you.
Thank you, Bob.
All right, fans. White Lightning, Tim Horner, one of the real nice guys in professional wrestling. We'll be right back.
And wrestling never came to Cookeville ever again.
Okay, Doc, we played it.
I think Bob Caudle has a genuine affection for Tim Horner that probably goes outside the ring, where they have, you know, they're just two simple guys that like to sit together and talk about their families. They probably talk about stuff that's not wrestling related, and I think Bob really likes Tim. Now, here's the deal. If you're not going to be in wrestling, it's time to chop off that goofy-looking mullet and be a serious adult now. Come on.
Yeah, really.
Did you ever have a mullet in your life, Doc? Let me ask
you. Oh, yeah, definitely. Probably right about that same time.
That's pathetic.
Before that. Man, Horner's management now is basically what I got out of that.
Yeah, really.
That is such a corporate world environment. This guy's decent enough in the ring, and he can't talk, and he can't really get over. Let's make him a boss. How often do you see that down at the shoot job, Menace?
Very frequent. I know I said this a few weeks ago, but that might be the last we see and hear from him.
It might be.
I don't recall his last promo or time on camera. I mean, I know he comes back under a hood. We'll leave it at that, but
that might have been it.
Yeah, Hopper, anything from you on this?
That sucks, man. Who are we going to laugh at now?
The Mummy.
Yeah.
Bro, I don't know, bro. There's not much that's going to give us as much enjoyment as we got out of laughing at that motherfucker over these last 2 years. I mean, you got to be real with yourself, man. Do you know how much we laughed at those promos?
Yes.
That shit was great.
Enough that we should all watch our backs if we're ever in a room with Horner.
And he has to take therapy.
Yeah, taking therapy.
Take therapy. Not go to therapy. He's got to take it. That's a new one.
I got
to
take it, like, yeah.
Go ahead, Hawk.
He's got to take two a day.
Two a day. Good luck. All right, well, we're moving on from Horner,
What if Caudle said, "Now, Tim, stop being a pussy and put some tussin on it."
That would have been great. All right, the next thing we go to is a local promo. Doc, did you have notes from this?
No, I thought DWB was good, but nothing noteworthy. Just the same old, we're getting to Christmas chaos.
Yeah, I thought Smothers was pretty good there, too. Nice little babyface promo as well. I thought that was good. And then we go straight from that to Chris Candido versus Tracy Smothers. Beat the Champ TV title match. Dutch says before the match, "I'm not like Democrats. I don't cheat." When Cotto asks questions about Dutch being paid off to pick Candido's name. Good Lord. Smoky Mountain, these two going back and forth is just great. I'm not sure. Here's the thing about this match. I'm not sure what kind of TV time limit they had here, because they had only gone 3 minutes before Brian Matthews called for the time limit warning. I was like, dude, they ain't even been out there for, you know, 200 seconds. Apparently, when there's a time limit draw, the current champ does retain, and I assume he gets another check. I don't know. They don't really mention it, but this was probably the weirdest Beat the Champ TV title match we've seen since they introduced this title. Hopper, what did you have from that?
Yeah, I mean, I was like, wait, there's a time limit? That's the first time I heard that.
I was completely thrown.
It was the first draw they've ever had.
Yeah.
Dude, it was like they ran long on time with everything else they did, and they were like, shit, we got to get this in. We've only got, according to our records, we're only going to have 4 minutes of TV time to do And here we are. So yeah, just go with it. I mean, that's what I got from it.
Yeah.
Doc, what did you have? Anything else?
It's a main event caliber match. Was that a Hurricanrana there in the middle that Candido pulled off?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't
something over. Either. I don't either. I've been a while since I watched. He did something over in the corner where he hopped up and like Hurricanrana him off the top rope. Man, Candido was putting some blistering offense on these people in 1993.
Oh yes, he is. And then we don't get a promo at the end. I mean, that's pretty much how this
that
thing
was
goes off air. Dude. Time limit draw.
Man, Merry Christmas. Get out.
Yeah.
Let me tell.
Oh, bitch.
Y'all gotta go home.
You ain't
man.
Got we to go to, home, but your show can't stay the fuck here.
We're trying to have Christmas here, man. Come on, get out.
Our broads imagine, want gifts. Go the fuck home.
Imagine, like, though, being, you know, you sat with your family all day, and I was trying to explain this to somebody who's young, a young person today. Man, on Christmas night, there was nothing open unless wrestling was being run, right?
Yep.
Maybe the maybe some of the gas stations. Maybe.
Yeah, that was it.
Maybe. Like the 7-Eleven was open, but the just
that's
the regular
it.
Shit. No. Everything was closed.
Well, you know what man, else was open too? Like a Walgreens, like a drugstore.
Not 93, pal.
Unless
what were you doing? Going down there trying to get a pregnancy test? I mean, it was closed.
Whoa.
Up.
Whoa. Come on, bro. Don't put my business on the streets, man. I mean, come on now. I always wrapped it up, dog.
Can you imagine how great it would have been? Because you were cooped up in some cabin in the Smoky Mountains, probably wood-burning stove with your dumbass family, and
yeah,
all of a sudden
dogs,
and all of a sudden wrestling comes on. You get to watch a little Smoky Mountain, and then it's this episode, and you're like, "Fuck."
Well, this shit aired in the morning.
So here's the problem with this: the guys that were on it didn't do a bad job. But they were trying to stretch the content they had from this fourth week here to make a show. So all the recaps. So when we get ready to give this a really low rating, because that's about to happen.
Yeah.
It's not the fault of the people who were performing in the show. There just wasn't enough of it to go around for the show.
I mean, Van Horn at the beginning was good.
Let's do it.
Well, I went first last week. You go first this week.
I'll go this week. I don't give a damn. I'll come straight out and say it, man. This was a chore.
Yeah.
And I don't like saying that about Smoky Mountain. Man, I feel for the second week in a row like I'm being generous again.
Okay, what are you giving it?
And I only have so much generosity to spread around to start with. Whew. 6.0.
Wow, I didn't think you'd go that low.
Yeah. I'm going 6.5.
Okay. I was going to go, I did 6.5 last week. I was going to go like 6.3 this week because.
But you know what I was thinking?
Better.
I think they may have realized this is on Christmas Day.
And let's not waste it.
Right. People going to be preoccupied doing other shit. So, you know, we don't have to have a 5-star, you know, episode.
Because there ain't no way anybody in the territory had a VCR. That would have been a fucking 6 months worth of pay for these people.
Yeah. See,
damn, Doc.
What?
Actually, Harper.
Did you have a VCR in 1993?
No, but Harper's on to something with why wasted. There was actually two things going on. First, you had Christmas chaos happening that day. So you had like the big blow-offs of the feuds going on that day. That's one. And then two, you do have Christmas Day, so people are occupied. How many people are really like keyed into that actual episode? So in a way too, you had two things. Yeah, no, I mean, not as many people are probably watching. And then two, you got all the blow-offs happening that day, so what the hell are you going to air? I mean, it's like a perfect storm of an opportunity of to just let's pass the week, and then next week we'll get to the freaking recap show of the year, and then once we get to January we're back on schedule. But yeah, man, you really couldn't. There was not much to put together here. I'm giving it a 6.3. So Doc gave it a 6. Harper gave it 6.5. I'm giving 6.3. These are definitely, Doc, would you say the lowest score since some probably less than episode 20 or so?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Without a doubt. I mean, I can't see it being any lower since then. All right, let's do the government cheese. I want to mention the patron link, tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. Go listen to all of our patron-only content there.
Here's the move. Here's the move. Wait, hold on. They're getting ready to do that move in the corner. I couldn't remember what it was, but we're watching it now. So let's see what he pulls off here. Oh, look at that dumb whore.
Damn, Doc, that's a freaking 14-year-old girl, man.
Yeah, she's
probably
already...
Are you talking about this right here?
Yeah, she's probably right here. Pregnant a couple of times.
Oh, shit.
I think he fell off the first time, and that's why they went to the crowd shot.
Yeah,
to cover it.
Yeah, that.
But that's explosive offense. That's explosive offense for 93.
Yeah, it is. Come on, ref.
But like I was saying, go to tinyurl.com/BTTPatron and become a patron. Get access to the nearly 80. Patron-only episodes that are out there, including the world-class shows and all of our exclusive pre-show content that we put up for just our patrons. All right. And let's go to the government cheese now. So I'm going to go first. Dude, it's going to Daryl Van Horn. That promo where he told fucking Bobby Blaze that he wasn't going to be getting the stink finger or the punch bowl, spike punch bowl. I thought that was fabulous. So Daryl Van Horn's getting it from me. Doc, who's getting it from you?
As much as I want to give it to the devil himself for all of his dirty limericks, I'm going to go with a different direction. That shit at the beginning popped me with Candido, man. When he walked in, I was like, are y'all guys busy here? And then paid some money and got him a match and then had some innovative offense. I'm going with Candido.
Yeah, the good stuff happened within the first 8 minutes of this episode.
Yeah, I know.
Good Lord.
Then it was over with.
Yeah. Harper, who are you giving yours to?
It's got to be Van Horn.
Dude, I don't know how to die. I mean, I like what Candido did, but Jesus Lord, Van Horn was...
Hey, man, I know James Mitchell listens, and we've been putting him over. I don't want his ass to get too big of a head, you know, his head to get too big. So I don't care who you are. You can't get too big of a head. This is our show, so watch out, pal.
That's nice, Doc. And if you disagree with
Doc,
I could go
toe-to-toe verbally with him if I had to, so I'm not worried.
Yeah, okay.
I got a big vocabulary too, pal.
Yeah. Whatever you say, pal. Go to tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Please use the Amazon referral link to purchase anything and everything you want from Amazon. Again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Great way to support the show without spending anything extra, and we would appreciate it. Check out the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing with ROH's Brian Malonis, Mike Crockett. Every single Monday, they do their thing. Just search WPAN or Wrestling Podcast About Nothing. Check out their show. They do some classic stuff along with current stuff. And they've interviewed a bunch of ROH talents as well. And then check out the Retro Wrestling Podcast, Our Vantage Point with Joe and Quinn. Northern version of what we do here. Lots of WWF talk. Lots of other talk as well. But go enjoy them. Again, they drop theirs every single Monday too. Our Vantage Point Retro Wrestling Podcast. And go join our Facebook group too, Our Vantage Point. I'm trying to think, man. What you got, Doc? Anything else before we get out of here this week?
It's time to go, pal.
Yeah,
I'm kind of tired, bro. I got shit to do, man. And it's late on a Sunday. When I say I got shit to do, I mean like go say goodnight to kids and go to bed because I got work in the morning.
That's right, pal. Shoot job.
That's that. Shoot job, brother. Harper, what do you have?
Not a damn thing. Let's
roll. All right, let me shout out the Hall of Fame patrons real quick. At Merciless Jones, Disrespectfully Classy, Marky Blassy, at Spy Boy Sports Cap, JMM7530, DR1851, Rube1452, Frog Zeppelin, Philip Allen, R. Smith 9000, 945 Sports Beat, a.k.a. Big Rich, Jesse Lucas, Joe Ice, MPRU83, Alice, R.E. Miller 39, Justin _ Andretti, JShiny21, Natural Hacksaw, Thin Man Within, Slider91US, USC49er Dodger, Gerald Green III, T-Hog94, SV Padrum, Martin Howell 71, Tim Moretti, Coleman 822, Gobbled Unreal, Unconvinced Ray. Thanks for being Hall of Fame patrons. And with that said, we're going to get out of here. Let's roll, Harper. Hit the tagline.
Book it, bitch.